Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
Well, this morning, church, we're going to get straight into the Word of God. And I'm starting a new series this week called The Power of a Grateful Heart. Now, this all came out of our own home experience maybe a month or two ago. And Alison and I started to notice in our home that, Josh, if I could have just a little bit more fallback, that would be greatly appreciated. I was singing very loud. I was really enjoying the worship. It came out of this idea that we began to discover, now that we've got teenagers in the house, that we needed to turn up the gratitude quotient in our home. And so we started to intentionally focus on deliberately cultivating and growing in the art of appreciation. It's so easy in this generation where our kids have so much that it's always the next thing is going to make us happy, but we're trying to foster and cultivate that what we do have, we need to be thankful for. And so we are intentionally, little by little, exercising the word, thank you. How good is that? Amazing. Now, along with please, you're welcome, thank you is one of the most used words in the English language. It comes in all different shapes and sizes, of course. If you speak Spanish, it sounds something a little bit like... Very good. If you speak French, it sounds a little bit like... Ooh, we got some educated people here at Horizon Church. Well done. If you can speak Afrikaans, it sounds a little bit like... They're all seated over there. One section, donkey. Get on you, Richard. How good is that? If you can speak Hebrew, it sounds a little bit like Tada. Someone said it. Who said it? There you go. Give that person a gold medal. Good on you. Well done. How good is that? And if you're from Australia, it sounds a little bit like? Good on you, mate. Thank you. There we go. Gratitude has great power. Gratitude is so powerful that it can literally alter the direction of your life. It can break strongholds. It can supercharge and strengthen your marriage. Gratitude is so powerful that it can literally guard you from delusion. It produces within us a posture of humility and protects us, here we go, of taking things for granted. Gratitude guards us from the spirit of entitlement. It not only produces within us a posture of humility, but it can produce in our homes and in our workplaces a spirit of joy and cohesive relationships. Gratitude is one of the most reliable indicators of spiritual health. Gratitude is so powerful that it can cure irritability, amen. It can lighten discouragement and can lessen anxiety. Gratitude is so powerful, the spirit of gratitude can and will measurably change your life. It is one of the most emotionally and spiritually energizing things that you can make a part of your life. The word give thanks or giving thanks is used in the Bible around about 46 times. In fact, you will see that in every single one of Paul's epistles, he motivated and exhorted people towards the spirit of gratitude. One Bible commentator said that there is no other subject more fully discussed in the Bible than giving thanks. But just like gratitude has great power, ingratitude is destructive. We see in the Bible that Adam and Eve, they had beauty, they had provision, they had companionship, but a spirit of ingratitude brought about a separation from the purposes of God. We see that the children of Israel, what was supposed to be a 11-day journey, turned into 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Why? Because their speech was categorized by a spirit of murmur. It is a command of God that our relationship with Him be categorized with a spirit of thanksgiving. And so this series is all about us being inspired towards a thankful heart. It's about us stirring each other up in our homes towards a, come on church, a spirit of thanksgiving. In fact, we could say, or should say, that gratitude should be a distinguishing mark in the life of a believer. We should say that nobody on the planet should be more thankful or should outthank the people of God. I need to say that again. Nobody on the planet should outthank the people of God. We have a lot to be grateful for. Gratitude, church, is magnetic. When we're in holidays in Perth, Alison and I caught up with Pastor Margaret Court, and she wanted to meet us at this breakfast location, and it was kind of mid-morning breakfast. And whilst we were there just catching up and just dialoguing, we wanted to get something to eat, and so we ordered our food, and this girl brought over our food, and not because we were trying to be extra nice in front of Pastor Margaret. We were just being ourselves, and both Alison and I spontaneously, out of our heart, we just said, thank you so much. The girl turned to us, this is only just a few weeks ago, and she said, can I say thank you for saying thank you? And I'm like, isn't that normal? Isn't it normal just to show appreciation? What happened was, in that moment, gratitude became magnetic. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles, if you can, this morning to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. We're going to build our sermon today on one verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18. Now, I used to say this when I turned to this book in the Bible or similar. These days, people turn their Bibles on. But if you are turning the pages, all the T's are together in the Bible. That's how you find it. Thessalonians, Timothy, and Titus. But you've already got it because you've just turned your Bible on. There you go. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Are you ready, church? Look at what it says. In everything, give thanks. How good is that? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So today I'm going to give you three things today around building a spirit of gratitude. Number one, thanksgiving leads to thanks living. Now, gratitude in this day and age has been reduced to a transaction. What do I mean by that? Well, yesterday morning, one of the habits I have on a Saturday morning is I get up nice and early. I pray, amen. I read my Bible, and then I sneak out of the house and I go to a coffee shop right here in Sutherland called White Horse. I order myself a soy flat, and the person, of course, gives me my soy flat. And what do I say? I say, thank you. From there, I usually go to the markets and I walk around the markets for a little bit. Now and again, I see some people from church and we say hello to each other, and I might get some muffins or something, or scones for my elderly neighbors. I buy my elderly neighbors scones. They love me. And there's an exchange that takes place. And when that exchange happens, what do we say? We say, come on, church, let's exercise this morning. We say, thank you. There you go. Then after that, I went to the dry cleaners because I needed to dry clean a shirt, and I got my shirt, they passed it to me, and I said, thank you. Then from there, My son, Wade, he loves a bacon and egg roll from Sugar Ray's on a Saturday morning. I went to Sugar Ray's, I got the bacon and egg roll, no sauce, and grabbed the roll, because for whatever reason, 13-year-olds have to have it in a particular way, amen. Just have sauce, tastes good. And so I grabbed the roll, and I said, come on, church, thank you. Now, of course, over the course of this week, how many of you have been to a cafe, you got served, and you used the word or the phrase, thank you? We've all done it at some point over the course of this week, I hope. Over the last month or two, you boarded a plane, they check your boarding pass, they say to you, go down the aisle, turn right, 9 seats, 10 seats, whatever it is. Hopefully you got to turn left, I'm not too sure. And what do you say? You say, thank you. Now, we live in a day and age where gratitude is based on an exchange. Come on, who's with me this morning? So say, for example, I have got $50 right here in my pocket. Amen. Zane is getting married very, very soon. And I'm going to sow into it. And so, now, watch this, Zane. Here we go. Bella's like, did you see that? Bella's like, bam, you take that thing. There's a honeymoon. Good job, Bella. Strong. Well done. So, Zane, here you go, buddy. This is for you.
Thank you.
Unbelievable. Whoa. Now, on the basis of an exchange, we express a spirit of gratitude and we say, come on, church. I know it's hard for some of us this morning, but come on, I know it's early in the morning, but you can say it. Say,
thank you.
Good job. Now, let's go back to the scripture and let's look at what the Bible teaches about the spirit of thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians again, chapter 5, verse 18. I want you to notice what it says. It says, in everything, give thanks. Now, let's look at what the Bible doesn't say. It does not say, for everything, give thanks. Come on, church. Neither does it say, after everything, give thanks. The Bible says, in everything, we are to give thanks. So we're not talking about gratitude or the spirit of thanksgiving as an accidental ingredient. We are talking about the habitual attitude of gratitude. Now, if giving thanks was based on if the verse said for everything, give thanks, the problem is that there's a lot of things that we should not give thanks for. For example, if the enemy is pursuing you and you've had some challenges in your life and the enemy, how many of you know, has a plan, things are going on, we are not to give thanks for the plans and the works of the enemy. Amen? Now, if it's after and we only give thanks after, well, the truth is, it doesn't really require much faith to give thanks to God when we see His plan or His hand or His work in hindsight. So the scripture is calling us to operate in a spirit of thanksgiving, which is in everything, I give thanks. So if there's a challenge at work, if there's relationship stress and kids or uni or whatever's going on, in the midst of all things, the Bible says that we are to have a spirit of thanksgiving. That is, we are giving thanks to God even when the blessing is in disguise. Amen. Now, let's put it this way. Mike, my neighbor, my elderly neighbor, he has no idea I preach about him. But I love Mike, my sermon illustrations neighbor. He's an elderly man and his wife's a Catholic. He's an Anglican. So on one Sunday morning, they go to the Catholic church. They've been doing this for like 30, 40 years. The next Sunday morning, they go to the Anglican church. And this is how they've been doing it for a long time. So Mike is just one of these ultra, super positive elderly men. Now, I see him outside because he's always, you know, just doing stuff on his house. And every time I see him in the morning, he says to me, first thing he says, Brad, isn't it a fantastic day? Now, the weather is irrelevant to Mike. It could be raining. The sun could be shining, birds singing, thunderstorms. Mike will still say, isn't it a fantastic day? So what he has built into his life is the habitual attitude or disposition towards gratitude. We don't give thanks to God because of the fours or the afters. We give thanks to God in the situation that we're going through, whatever may be going on in our circumstance or in our world. In the middle of things, there is always, here we go, always something to give God thanks for. Always. Let's keep going. Number two, thanksgiving aligns my soul. How good is that? A.W. Tozer said, a thankful heart cannot be cynical. So good. Now, watch this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 again. Look at what it says. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, what is the will of God? The will of God for us today is that in everything, we are to give thanks. So we could say we are never more in the center of God's will than when we are thankful. So how then does gratefulness align our soul? Well, our daughter, Tori, recently got her L's. Unbelievable. I know. And Mum has been teaching her how to drive and doing a great job. So, you know, you got to get all these hours up and so on. And Tori's been out driving. I've done a lesson or two. But Mum seems to have taken charge, right? And so they go for a drive the other day. Talk to Alison afterwards. How did it go? Alison says she's improved so much and doing a great job. All the L-platers, come on, you're doing a great job. Just don't hurt anybody. But she says, there is a bit of a problem when we're kind of driving. Tori's still having a bit of a problem with alignment. I said, what do you mean? It's just like you can be in the lane, but sometimes there's a little bit of drift, right? And just drifting. And Alison's like, we just came millimeters from another car, right? But she's doing a great job. Now, here's the thing. What gratitude does is gratitude stops our soul from drifting. It stops our soul from moving into places and spaces that we should not go. Right? Now, watch this. We think the spirit of this world tells us that it's acquisition. It's getting more things that actually we then become grateful. But the truth is this morning is that our happiness does not make us grateful, but gratefulness is what actually makes us happy. And of course, it aligns our soul. There's a doctor by the name of Dr. Robert Emmons, and he is, get this, the world's leading scientific expert on gratitude. Who would have ever thought there could be someone like that? The world's leading expert on the subject of gratitude. Look at what it says. Little quote from him. He says, we discovered scientific proof that when people regularly engage in the systematic cultivation of gratitude, they experience a variety of measurable benefits, psychological, physical, and interpersonal. Grateful people experience higher levels of positive emotions, such as joy, enthusiasm, love, happiness, and optimism, and that the practice of gratitude is, as a discipline, protects a person from the destructive impulses of envy, resentment, greed, and bitterness. How good is that? In one of the commentaries I was reading this week on the subject of gratitude, John Yates, he said this about the spirit of gratitude. John Henry Jowett, a British preacher of an earlier generation, said this about gratitude. Gratitude is a vaccine, an antitoxin, and an antiseptic. What did he mean? He meant that gratitude, like a vaccine, can prevent the invasion of a discouraged spirit. Like an antitoxin, gratitude can prevent the effects of the poisons of cynicism, criticalness, and grumbling. Like an antiseptic, a spirit of gratitude can soothe and heal the most troubled spirit. Church, every time we give thanks, it's aligning our soul in the purposes of God. We could even say that gratitude and thanksgiving is so powerful that in fact it is restorative to the soul. You know, part of my role on the what's called our national executive, you oversee thousands of pastors in one of the things that I do. Pastors do get discouraged. Pastors can grow weary. Pastors can grow a little tired. And in, you know, dealing with some things and managing some things around Australia, it's one common thread that I observe when a pastor hits rock bottom. Now, there are many things, but this is just one thing that I've noticed is a common thread. And that is when people lose their gratitude, they develop a spirit of entitlement. And when you get the spirit of entitlement, you lose your wonder, you lose your awe, you stop seeing the magnificence of Almighty God, you stop seeing the beauty in other people. And we should never lose our spirit of gratitude because it aligns our soul in the purposes of God. I was reading this week about a gentleman who wanted to cultivate the spirit of gratitude in his life. Who would like to cultivate the spirit of gratitude? Amen. And he went on this journey to consider and to write about the things he could be grateful for. Now, church, if we actually take the time to stop, to think, and to consider, there is a lot to be grateful for. Well, this was his journey. He said this, five things I'm going to give to you this morning that he was grateful for. He said, number one, I am thankful for the clothes that are a little too snug. It means I have enough to eat. There you go. How good is that? I really like that one. He says, for the alarm that goes off early in the morning, it means that I'm alive. Wow. Third thing he says, for the teenager who is not doing the dishes but is watching TV, it means he is at home and not on the streets. For the lawn that needs mowing, windows that need cleaning, and gutters that need fixing, it means I have a home. Last thing he says, for the parking spot I've found at the other end of the car park, it means that I'm capable of walking and have been blessed with transportation. How good is that? Come on, there's a lot to be grateful for. Now, I could sum that up by saying this, that out of the determination of the heart, the eyes see. If you want to see gratefulness, if you want to see things that you can be grateful for, Matthew 7:7 says, seek and you will find. Church, we are on a journey of gratitude because it aligns our soul in the purposes of God. Number three, thanksgiving is a natural response to a rescue. Now, there's a show that I do watch on TV every now and again. It's called Bondi Rescue. Who's ever watched that show before? And you get all these people generally from overseas who want to see Bondi Beach. Don't ask me why they don't want to see Cronulla. I think Cronulla's better, but maybe it's good that we just don't tell them our secret. Boom. Go to Bondi. It's good beach. No worries. Because they start coming here, we're going to start paying for car spaces. That's what's going to happen. $20 an hour. So they go in the ocean. Some of them swim in their jeans. And they don't stay in between the flags. Stay in between the flags, people. And so then, of course, you've got the lifeguard. He goes out and rescues these people. And they just kind of make it so dramatic. And I've never, ever seen someone get rescued, come out and not be grateful and not be filled with gratitude. Church, it is a privilege as a Christian to be grateful. He's rescued us. He's blessed us. He's delivered us from things. He's moved us from a place of brokenness to healing, from a place where we were captivated, a place where we were drowning, and His gracious love and arm has set us free and brought us unto Himself. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 100 verse 4, he said, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Why? Because my thanksgiving is a natural response to the rescue of God in my life. Yeah, amen. Come on, let's give God a hand of praise this morning. I don't know if you've ever been rescued. I got rescued once, thankfully not in the ocean. Now, years ago when I bought my first $2,200 car, it came with complications, as all $2,000 cars do. But I was 17, that's all I could afford. I saved up $2,000. My dad lent me $200 because it cost $2,200, and he made me pay back the $200. Anyway, that's another story. I'm just showing my pain right now. So I'm driving one night. Alison and I were dating, and so I'm driving back. It must have been Tuesday, Wednesday night. And the area that we used to live in, Perth, is an area called Canning Vale. It's kind of like, you know, still sub-development, growing, etc. And that's where my parents were. So I'm driving home. I'm on these back streets. And I get to the traffic light. And it's about 10 at night. And all of a sudden, the car stops. And now, I do need to let you know, I like cars, but I'm no mechanic. Amen. And so I'm stuck out in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden I see these headlights in the distance, and this guy comes, big beard, and I'm like, okay, Lord, keep me safe here in Jesus' name. He jumps out and he says, you all right, mate? I said, oh, look, my car just nothing, just won't start. Goes to his toolbox, and he gets a knife. I'm like, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And he goes to the battery and he starts to remove with his knife some of the residue, some of the acid buildup, reconnects it, boom, lights come on, engine starts, I've been rescued. Now, I never said to the guy, oh, I deserve that. Oh, I was stuck on the road, you know. Someone see me, they could have shot me, killed me. I never said to him, do you know how long I was waiting for? I mean, you know what time Macca's closes? I need to get through Macca's drive-thru before it closes. This is Perth, things close early. I never said to him, oh, you're not the kind of rescuer that I wanted. You got a beard. I'm against beards. I want a clean shave, you know. I never said to him, why did you use a knife? That's not how I wanted my car to be fixed. My heart was filled with gratitude. I was thankful because he had a solution. Church, there's a solution that came. His name is Jesus. He rescued us. He delivered us. He set us free. He died on a cross for us. He gave Himself for our brokenness. He gave Himself for our hurt and our pain. When we were lost, we were found. And he came searching and looking for the people that he loves so much. And the natural response of someone who's been rescued is to worship and to say thank you to the Lord. Church, have you been in church for so long that you focus on all the stuff that really doesn't matter? Ooh, I don't know, they're singing that song again. Fight my battles. How many times do you sing fight my battle? Battle, 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 battle. Battles, battles, battles. This church has a lot of battles. You know what I'm saying? Are we focusing? How come that person wasn't welcoming at the door? I wanted the other person to shake my hand and that person. We're focusing on things rather than getting back to that simplicity of the beautiful relationship we have with our God. The natural response is to worship and to say thank you to the Lord for the good things that He has done. Come on, if He's rescued you, why don't you just begin to worship Him just right where you are? Just begin to worship Him. Put your stuff away. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We bless the name of the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits. We bless you today. You've rescued us. You've rescued us. You've delivered us. And we worship you. You know, today, you may not know what it means to have been rescued by the love of God. I was 14 years of age when I was rescued by God's love. A meeting maybe not too dissimilar to this, maybe a lot more young people. And on that day, I experienced His love. My life was changed. I was rescued by the love of God. You know, if you were out in the ocean and let's say a massive current came and you got swept out, lifeguard came, lifeguard threw you a rope or tried to pull you in, none of us here would say, no, I wanted the other lifeguard. You know, one of the key strategies of the enemy is to think that there are other things that can be a solution for your rescue. There's only one solution. His name is Jesus. Jesus Christ, God's only Son, the perfect Lamb of God who loves you. Come on, someone needs to be rescued today. God's love is reaching out to you. This is what we're going to do. In a moment, come on, stay with me now. We're going to pray a prayer. The reason why we're going to pray this prayer, it's a simple prayer that invites Jesus Christ to come into our lives and to say, Jesus, would you rescue me? His arm is stretched out to you today. Imagine if you were out there in the ocean and the kind of lifeguard came and just like, all it takes is for you to reach out and to say, here I am. This is the amazing thing about the rescuer. He's not going to say to you, oh, gee, I wanted someone to rescue someone with yellow bathers. You've got red bathers on. You're out. It's irrespective. All His heart is there to do is to deliver you and save you. It doesn't matter about your past. Doesn't matter what you look like. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what country you come from. His love is reaching out to you today. And all you got to do is stretch out your arm and say, rescue me, Jesus. Amen. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Why don't you pray this prayer after me? Some of you are praying this for the first time. Some of you have never prayed this prayer before. You're opening up your heart to God, or you're praying it and you're saying, I've been away from you, God, but I'm asking you to rescue me. Are you ready? Here we go. Pray this after me. Dear Jesus Christ, I believe in you. Come into my heart and be my Savior. I receive your forgiveness, your love, and your complete acceptance. I am now set free from my past. I am now a child of God. With every head bowed, every eye closed, the arm of God is reaching out to you today through Jesus Christ. If you're saying today, I prayed that prayer for the first time, or you did a long time ago, but you're reconnecting with the love of God, you need to come home today. This is where you belong. And if that's you today, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand. The reason why I want you to lift up your hand so that I can see you. I want to pray for you. I want to encourage you. I want to bless you in the decision that you've made today. A couple of people around the auditorium are also helping me to see. Sometimes it's difficult to see everybody. Are you ready? Here we go on the count of three. Raise your hand. One, two, three. Lift it up nice and high. I'd love the opportunity to pray for you today, to pray for you today. God bless you. I see your hand over there. God bless you. I see your hand. Come on, that's a couple of people already. Raise it up nice and high. God bless you, sir. I see your hand. God bless you. Who else is there? Lift it up nice and high. Once you put your hand right up, you can put it straight back down. God bless you. That's so good. Is there anyone else? I'd love the opportunity to pray for you today. Who else is there? So good, so good. Come on, that's about five people that have raised their hand. Why don't you be, thank you, I see your hand. That's fantastic, you can put it down. Is there anyone else? I'd love the opportunity to pray for you today. So God bless you, I see your hand as well. Good on you, I'm glad I waited for you. Is there anyone else? Come on, church, let's pray. This is a time of faith. Who else is there? I'd love the opportunity to pray for you today. So, so good, so good, so good. Awesome. Church, are we ready to pray? Come on, Horizon Church, are we ready to pray? Let's pray. Father, thank you for these awesome people, these amazing people who've raised their hand. I thank you for new beginnings. I thank you for a life-changing experience with the living God. Thank you that we have been rescued from the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light. In Jesus' awesome name we pray. And all of Horizon Church, come on, let's give Jesus an awesome clap of praise for those who raised their hands today.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.